In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To begin, I give my homily today because it is important for me as your spiritual father to be clear and authentically Catholic. I am, after all, a Roman Catholic priest, a shepherd and father to a vibrant community of Roman Catholics. That is you, fine people. Our common faith unites us as one family, or in the biblical wording from St. Paul, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So every October, the Church celebrates Respect Life Month. Catholics respect life from conception to natural death and at every stage in between, period. This is not and has never been a political agenda. This is not and has never been the Church getting involved in politics. If anything, it's the other way around. The state deciding which persons receive the dignity of personhood, the dignity to be human, which is something only God the Creator can confer. Now, we've seen this has been disastrous in the past with the state, saying, for example, that black persons were only 3/5 of a whole person, or that indigenous peoples had no real rights at all, and we could do what we wanted. No, all human life is a gift to be cherished, not a problem to be disposed of. We must not be cowards, averting our eyes from the truth which is under our noses, the truth that the lives of preborn children are being snuffed out when they are literally growing and forming in what should be the safest place, their mother's womb. The truth that many elderly, sick, or handicapped persons are told their speedier death is the best thing for them and for others. People with Down syndrome. That a person on death row is no longer a person who could or should be given a chance to repent. St. Paul encourages Timothy today, listen, for God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. That's something we need to put on our bathroom mirrors, right? God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. And he goes on to say, so do not be ashamed of your witness, of your testimony in Christ. We are called not to be cowards in living our faith. And last weekend, Deacon Al had a wonderful quote. I'd like to quote again. It's from a speech by William Wilberforce in his 1791 address to the British Parliament on the abolition of slavery. Listen what he reminded the members. Having heard all of this, you may choose to look the other direction, but you can never again say you did not know. Now, over the past couple of years, one thing that you've probably heard that we've been told is to follow the science. So yes, let's follow the science. Here is scientific truth. At conception, or fertilization, if you prefer that word, your life began. It was not your mother's life. It was not your father's life, but yours. Sperm and egg combined to give you a unique genetic code that would develop to make you, you. Now, over these long years since 1973, over 60 million children with their own unique genetic code were not given the choice to be born. And since, about half of all conceptions, slightly more actually, are female, that means that over 30 million future women had their choice made for them when their lives were terminated. Now, if that sounds strong, it's because it's the naked truth. Now, as I mentioned back in June, our pro-life, pro-woman, pro-child, pro-family work, in many ways, has just begun. An overturned judicial decision and any array of laws that may come does not fix the real problem. We must change hearts. And that is done not through laws. Hearts are changed through love. Especially through the love that Jesus Christ brings, that you and I are called to show the world in our faith. We are part of a church that always stands up for those least brothers and sisters of ours, for those who would otherwise have no voice. And as a people of life, building a culture of life, we must advocate on behalf of women so that they do not feel that they have to choose between their future and their child. Always remembering as well, the church is here, arms open wide for forgiveness and everything in the past that can be forgiven, and also with great resources to help women, especially in post-abortion, to heal and move on and restore their own lives. So we must, friends, increase our help, our support of things like pregnancy centers, like Life Choices that we are supporting, and for adoption. We must support our elderly and accompany them with love as they come toward the end of their lives. And yes, even pray for those who have done heinous crimes and give them that chance to truly repent. After all, God said, "It is I who deal death and give life." And God also says, not that vengeance is bad, but he says, vengeance is mine. One final example. Now, you and I, as a people of God, as disciples of Jesus Christ, now each one of us should be able to imagine Jesus doing the job that we do or did if you are retired. Now, it's easy to imagine Jesus as, for instance, a doctor, helping to bring healing to people, giving them counsel. And you can imagine him as a lawyer. There are great, wonderful lawyers. I know plenty. And ideally, what does the lawyer do? He speaks for and defends someone. In fact, the term for the Holy Spirit in the New Testament in Greek is paraclete, and in Latin, advocate. And they both mean the same thing, someone who stands beside to speak for. But also, we can imagine Jesus doing other highly needed jobs, sanitation, and cleaning, gardening, and landscaping, and more. He was, after all, mistaken for the gardener after his resurrection. But can you imagine Jesus as a doctor being the one to terminate a life in the womb? Wouldn't he rather be the person working in the adoption agency to give the child a wonderful home, Can you imagine Jesus being the one to press the button for the electric chair or administering a cocktail of drugs to end someone's life? Jesus says, instead, I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Easy to remember, John 10:10. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So friends, let us resolve to work with our fellow citizens to fulfill America's promise from her earliest days to guarantee the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all of her people. On the Day of Judgment, we shall be held accountable, because it is true. We may choose to look the other way, but we can never again say we did not know. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us stand.